Okay, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Rabbi Halpert is the rabbi of the Minyan in TABC, and also is a member of RENOT, and this is the maybe third time, I don't even recall, but either way, I want to thank him, and without further ado, Rabbi Halpert.
So for those who are sticklers, if you look at the title on the sheet, you'll see it's slightly different than the title in the announcements. I tried to get the title out in advance, but then as I was preparing further, I tweaked the title. So the current title is Eicha, Lamentations, Jewish Philosophy, or Both. If you look at the three psukim that you have in front of you, these are psukim from the third parak of Eicha, which is a slightly different format than the rest of Eicha. The first two parakim of Eicha just go Aleph through Taf, and then when you get to the third parak, you get this repetitive three stanzas for each letter. So it's these three psukim that I'd like to focus on. If I woke you up in the middle of the night and I said to you, translate for me pasuk lamed chet, mipi elyon lo teitse haraot v'hatov. How would you translate that? Mipi elyon lo teitse. How do you say that? Right, so just using, you know, even the English translation here, mipi elyon lo teitse, out of the mouth of Most High proceeds, or lo, proceeds not, Haraot vehatov, the evil and the good. Do you see more than one way? If I just change the punctuation at the end of the sentence, what are the two possible explanations for that sentence? Mipi elyon lo teitse haraot vehatov. Period, exclamation point. What does that mean?
Either is it possible that both good and bad don't come from Hashem?
Mipi elyon lo teitse haraot vehatov. Good and bad doesn't come from God. Mipi elyon, from above, lo teitse haraot vehatov. Period, exclamation point. God doesn't cause good or bad. Right? That's how you read it. Exclamation point. If I just change that exclamation point into a slightly squiggly line and make it into a question mark, it gets read, mipi elyon lo teitse haraot vehatov. From up above, from God, does not all good and bad come? Bitmia, exclamation, you know, question mark. Is that possible? No, of course. Of course all good and bad comes from up above. That slight switch, question mark versus exclamation point, completely alters the meaning of this pasuk. And what I'd like to focus on for the next few minutes that we have is to try to understand, is it an exclamation point? Is it a question mark? What are the different factors that go into that? And at the end of the day, what is the net effect of our analysis of that pasuk? So I mentioned before that in the third parak, which is where these psukim come from, you have the section by letter. Aleph, 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 bet, bet, bet. This is mem, mem, mem. So it's slightly sticky. I don't know if it's going to work. So I'll try to make this as loud as possible. So listen to, this is not really fair because you don't have it in front of you. This is the beginning of the third parak being leaned out loud, and it's going to be the end of the stanza of Beis. Beis transitioning into Gimel. So listen to this. Right, so that was Beis transitioning into Gimel. That was a standard laning. Now listen to someone who you're probably more familiar listening to. So name that tune. Who is that? That's Rai Weider. Rai Weider is laning a different nusach of the third parak of Eicha. There are two different minhagim as to how to lane the third parak of Eicha. The first, which is what you heard, is to lane it exactly the same way as you lane the first two and the last two, in that in the standard Eicha tune. The tune that Rabbi Weider is laning is a special tune for the third parak, and what it does is it focuses, the tune itself builds in the Beis, 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 stop. Gimel, 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 stop. And it was probably hard to hear, but you could hear the difference. At the end of the Beis, when you transition to Gadar Ba'adi, there's a stop. There's a forced transition. In the first laning, which is the standard laning, it just keeps going. So you don't really recognize the stoppages so much. I would argue and suggest that this particular laning, the laning that our reader is using, actually emphasizes the fact that each of these three psukim are separate sections, and they have to be learned together. And you actually, in order to understand each part of the pasuk, you have to look at the entire section of three. If you try to lane this way in a shul that doesn't lane that way, they'll kill you. They'll throw you out. I have a friend who had only laned the way he had learned from our reader, also from our Cantor Beer, at the Bell School, and he had never been anywhere where they didn't lane that way, and he just started laning that way, and they were not happy. They made him stop. They made him go back to the regular tune. But I think that what we consider the standard tune, and the tune that we use, really focuses on the fact that these three psukim
So
the psukim that we're going to focus on are the psukim that hopefully you have in front of you. That's Lamed Zayin, Lamed Tet, Lamed Tet. What I was just mentioning is that the whole third parak is made up of couplets of three psukim. The tune that we're familiar with, that our reader was laning here, that we just heard. The way the tune functions, it stops at the end of the third parak. There's a stoppage, almost as if like it's the end of an aliyah, and then there's a constant. Then you start again. You do the next three psukim. There's a stop. You start again. That's just the way the tune flows. You can listen to it afterwards. You'll hear it better. That focuses on the fact that the three psukim have to be learned together. The only way to understand what pasuk Lamed Chet is saying is to go back to Lamed Zayin and see Lamed Tet. So let's do that for a moment. But before we do that, some background. So we have a notion of Hashgacha Pratis in Judaism, from a Jewish philosophical perspective. How you define Hashgacha Pratis can span the gamut of no leaf falls in the forest without God determining it, to a much broader God affects kings, God affects certain people in different levels, but there is a notion of Hashgacha Pratis. The Gemara in Brachos says, "Imroa Adam sheyisurim ba'an alav yifashvesh b'masav." If a person sees that things are not going well, the person should introspect and figure out what's going on with their life, because clearly, if you behave better and if you perfect yourself, then that will automatically have an effect on how God reacts to you. Another Gemara in Brachos, Amar Rabbi Chanina. We have another Gemara that focuses on the idea it's all from above, right? Hashgacha Pratis, God is in control, there's going to be a direct reaction. That notion of Hashgacha Pratis fits perfectly well into the understanding of the idea of Mipi Elyon Lo Teitzeh Hara'ot V'Hatov? Mipi Elyon Lo Teitzeh Hara'ot V'Hatov? You're going to tell me that good things and bad things are going on in this world and that wasn't caused by God? Of course it was caused by God. Hashgacha Pratis. Hakol Bidei Shamayim. Imro Adam She'esurim Ban Alav Choshen Alav. So much so. So where are the sources for this? Where do we get this? So the famous story, if you go back to Shmos for a second, and Paro goes there, Al Hazcharim. Paro says, I'm going to wipe out the male population of the Jews and therefore effectively deal a tremendous blow to the Jewish nation. And he tries to do that. How does he try to do that? Who does he speak to? The La Mireldo, right? He speaks to the midwives and he says, you're going to kill them. And what happens? Do they listen? No, so we know the beginning of the story. They refuse to listen. So the Psukim say, Vayomer. Paro says, "Vayomer bi'alertenes ha'ivriyos urisen al havnaim." When the Jews give birth to children, and you see them on the birthing stones, im benhu v'hamiteno sov, im basi v'chaya. If it's a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. That's the statement from Paro. Pesukim later, they don't listen. We're told, "Vayitev elokim la'yimaladot, vayitev elokim la'mayaladot." God rewards the mayaladot for their behavior. What was their behavior? They didn't kill them. Vayirev ha'am vayatzmu me'od. And the nation became great. Vayirev became multiplied. Vayatzmu me'od. And they, as translated here, they waxed very mighty. So the Medrash picks up on a slight, ambiguity in the pasuk. If you look at pasuk Chaf, if we had just stopped after Vayetev elokim la'miyaldot, you would have thought that would have been the end of the story. Paro says, kill them, the Mialdot refuse, God rewards them. Why does it go on to say, Vayirv ha'am vayatzmu me'od? It seems to be a little bit unnecessary. On that, the Medrash picks up, Vayirv ha'am, l'kayem ma shenemar, mize amar vatehi, Hashem lo tziva. The first pasuk, Lamed Zayin, says, mize amar vatehi, Mize amaratahi, how do you translate that? Could somebody, who's the somebody? Could a person say something, vatehi, and it actually will take place? Hashem lo tziva. If God did not command it, right? If God did not certify it. Mi ze amar vatehi. Did a person ever say something, vahashem lo tziva, and God didn't command it? Says the Medrash, mi ze amar vatehi Hashem lo tziva. Im paro tziva laharog et hascharim. Paro said, kill the boys. Ma hoel b'gzeraso. What effect did his words have? Hashem lo tziva. God wasn't on board. Vayerev ha'am vayatzmu me'od. This pasuk is a living proof of the notion of who cares what man says. If God's not on board with it, it's not going to work. Mi ze amar vatehi, who's the one who said it, and it was going to come true? That was Paro. He said it. But Hashem lo tziva, but God didn't command it. Vayerev ha'am. So what you see is Chazal is clearly understanding pasuk lamed zayin as Mize amar batehi Hashem lo tziva. Can man say something and cause it to happen if God doesn't show it to happen? Right? Clearly not. How do you then force to understand the next pasuk? If you then say Mipi elyon lo teitze haraot v'hatov, good and bad doesn't come from God, then that's contradicting pasuk lamed zayin. If lamed zayin means Mize amar batehi Hashem lo tziva, could it happen if God didn't say it? Then obviously the next pasuk must mean Mipi ayon lo teitze haraot v'hatov. From God doesn't all good things and bad things come? It's the natural flow of pasuk lamed zayin. And if you look at Rashi on Eicha, that's exactly how Rashi understands it. He understands lamed chet and he understands it in context with lamed zayin. Rashi says v'im basi lomar. If an individual is going to say, lo miyado ba elai hara'a hazot, it's not miyado, it's not from God that this bad thing happened to me. Shahayali ein zot, that's wrong. Ki im bein ra'ot, bein tovot, whether it's good or whether it's bad, mi ze amar vatehi Hashem lo tziva, umipiv lo teitze, who's going to say something if it doesn't happen from God, and it doesn't, it's not going to happen, hein ra'a hen tov. That's Rashi's explanation of Pasuk Aleph and Beis. Mize amar vatehi, did it happen? If someone said it and God didn't agree, does it happen? Mipi Hashem lo teitze? Don't bad and good things happen from God? And now Rashi tells us, now I can understand Pasuk Lamed Tet. Ma yisonein adam chai, geber al chatosav. Ma yesh li yisonein adam chai. Why should a person complain on the bad things that happen? Kol ish v'ish yitonein al chetav, ki heim hamivim alav hara'av. What should you complain? Don't complain about your situation. Complain about your sins. Because obviously, that's what caused the bad things. And now the three psukim are a flow. Lamed Zayin. Does anything happen? If man says it, does it happen if God doesn't say it? If God doesn't approve? No. So clearly, Mipi elyon lo teitze haraot v'hatov, from up above doesn't good and bad happen. Therefore, ma yisonein adam chai. Don't sit back and complain. Rather, reflect, right? Im ro'eh adam sheyisurim ba'analav yifash feish b'ma'asav. So according to this approach in Chazal, and this understanding of the Psukim, we find ourselves in the middle of Eicha, where for Perek Aleph, we cried, all these bad things happened, this is terrible, Eicha yashvav adad, how is it possible Yishlaim is like this? Aleph and Beis, you get to Perek Gimel, and the feel begins to change a little, and the feel is called Tzidek HaDin. Where all of a sudden, Yirmiyahu HaNavi is saying, you look around and you see what's going on here, and you say, well, if it happened, it must have happened because God wanted it to happen. If God wanted it to happen, why did God want it to happen? It must be because I sinned. What should I do? Ma yisanein adam chai geber al chata'av. Rather, you should repent. So that's the first approach of these three psukim of Hashkacha Pratis in Eicha. Now, obviously, I'll take it as a given, there are two concepts in Jewish thinking. There's Schar Ba'onish, which we say twice a day in Shema, Yaim Shamoa, if you listen, everything good is going to happen, and if you don't listen, everything bad is going to happen. That is the general rule. And then you have the exception to the rule, which is Sadik Aralo, right? Where, why do bad things happen to good people? defined very differently by different people. I have a friend who used to say that when it rained on Sunday morning and softball got canceled, that was a clear expression of tzaddik v'ra'lo for him, right? Unfortunately, in our community, we all know people who have had clearer expressions, but the rule is tzaddik v'ra'lo. The rule is schar v'onesh. The exception is tzaddik v'ra'lo. This is functioning in the rule. Is there an exception? Yes. Do we have to think about it? Yes. But Eicha here is functioning in the rule. And the rule is schar v'onesh. So that's the first approach. Any questions on the first approach? Is there any other way to understand this? I'm kind of previewed that. Yes, there is. So if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perakei Halacha Beis, that Medrash that we saw and that Rashi that we saw are not the only sources that cite this pasuk as a proof to an approach. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva is very troubled by a different question, but a question that has to do with Bechira. And here, of course, obviously in Hilchos Tshuva, first the Rambam, and you know, every year on the Seder Yemei Tshuva, we focus on the first few prakim where the Rambam tells you how to do Tshuva. But then as you get to the middle of Hilchos Tshuva and you get towards the end, the Rambam switches to the philosophy of Tshuva and to kind of philosophy in general. Here the Rambam's saying, Al ya'avor b'machshav techa davar zeh she'omim tikshei umas ha'olam v'rov gomle b'nei Yisrael. Don't let it enter your mind. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu goes there al ha'adam mitchilas bruhiso lihios tzadik o rasha. Predeterminism. Don't let it enter into your mind that God is gozer whether you should be good or bad.
What's the word golem? Is he calling them golems?
The Rambam is not one to mince words, and the Rambam is saying that just like he says a few prakim earlier that if you believe that God has a corporal aspect to it, you are less than intelligent. The Rambam here is saying that if you believe in predeterminism, which actually that is a functioning religion right now. There are predeterminists. There's a word for it. That's not the right word. There's a word. He is calling you gomle. So first he's saying tikshe umas ha'olam, which is his Muslim brethren, and then gomle b'nei Yisrael. He's saying, okay, if you're Jewish and you believe silly things, you're also going to get criticized. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu gozer al ha'adam mitchilas b'riyas liyos tzadik o rasha. Ein hadavar kein. Ela kol adam roi lo liyos tzadik kemoshe rabbeinu o rasha ki yiravam. And I've heard Rabbi Adler give shir many times what it means. How can be gozer liyos tzadik kemoshe or not? Or you know, how can be gozer someone to be a tzadik? O chacham o sachal o rachman. All the midos of people, right? Pishchen shar kol adeas. Ve'ein lo mishi yachafu v'lo gozer alav. And no one forces you, and no one makes a gzera on you. There's no one pulling you one way or the other. Elohu me'atzmo, every individual me'atzmo themselves, umida'ato, no tella eza derech she'yitzeh. They go the path that they want to go. Hu she Yirmiyahu omer, that's what Yirmiyahu says, mi pi elyon lo teitze hara'ot ve'hatov. Yirmiyahu Hanavi, in Eicha, says, good and bad is not decreed from above. Not mi pi elyon lo teitzei hara'ot v'hatov? Question mark? No. Mi pi elyon lo teitzei hara'a v'hatov. Period. It's a fact. Good and bad is not decreed from above. Klomar. Ein habore gozer al ha'adam lios tov v'lo lihios ra. God isn't gozer whether you should be good or bad. V'kevin sheken hu nimtza zeh ha'choteh hu hifsid et atzmo. So what happens? If someone sins, they've lost themselves. Therefore, a person should cry and mourn on his sins. And what he's done for himself that caused bad. And now the Rambam is all of a sudden turning into a pashtun here. He's explaining, so how do you read the next pasuk again? The Rambam is consistent. He also lanes like we lane. That those three psukim have to be learned together as a unit. Right? He says, that's what the next pasuk says. Ma yisonein adam chai. What are you complaining about? God didn't decree it. It's you. V'chazar v'amar hold rishatenu biyadenu umidaitenu asinu kol ra'os ra'inu lan lachso b'tshuva. This is why it's in Hilchos Tshuva. Right? He says, now you look around and you're not happy. It's all in your control. Switch your behavior. Do tshuva and it'll all be good. V'lazov rishenu sha'arashu sata biyadenu hu shekasev acharav nach besad derachinu v'nach korban ashuva. And he goes, and that's consistent with the rest of the theme of the third parak. Right? And if you look in Sefer Chassidim, the Sefer Chassidim has the exact same understanding of these psukim. And if you go back, so now go back to our psukim, right? Actually, so we have enough time. Let's read. If you flip the page on page 2, on the top, there's a perish. If you look in most Mikros Kedolos, it actually sticks it into Rashi. It, like some of the better Mikros Kedolos, put it in brackets. This, which is the Taras Chaim Mikros Kedolos, actually has it there as well, but they put it brackets in a footnote that is more than likely not Rashi. They don't find it in the Kitvei Yad, but it's always put under Rashi. So he says, Mipi Elyon. Right. It totally contradicts the Rashi that we previously saw. That in and of itself is not a proof that it's not Rashi, because Rashi oftentimes brings down multiple midrashim on his explanation of a pasuk, and they can be self-contradictory. And he's saying, okay, if you take that approach, it's this; if you take that approach, it's that. But here, seemingly, this is not Rashi. More likely, it's the Rikara. But we were told, "Mi pi elyon lo teitze, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, miyom sha'amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu rei nasati lefanach es ha'chayim v'satov." Rabbi Yochanan darshins, from the day that God said to you, "Behold, I've given you the chayim and tov. I've given you the keys. I've given you the answer how to be good, how to be bad." Lo yetzei ra'ah v'tov mipiv. Good and bad is not decreed from his mouth. Elaha ra'ah ba'ah me'aleha. The evil comes from itself, meaning the bad result is the natural outgrowth of the sin. Lo'oseh ra, v'hatov lo'oseh tov. And the good for the one who does good. Lefichach, therefore, ma'yisonein, lama yitraim ha'adam im lo chata'av. Right? Why should a person complain or be upset, except he should be cognizant of the fact that it's his own sins? So, if both according to Rashi and the Rambam that we saw, the way it should be read is, mi ze amar batehi Hashem lo tziva, as one question. Once that's the first pasuk, one question. Mi ze amar batehi Hashem lo tziva, is there anything that happens in this world that God didn't command? Who's saying that? The chote, or the person who is mourning Yerushalayim, putting in the words of Yirmiyahu, somebody as kind of as a proxy, someone could say, they're in the midst of the mourning, they're in the midst of a terrible situation, and they say, what is going on here? Mize amar batehi Hashem lo tziva. This is all God's fault. God commands everything. ? God made this happen. All these bad things happened in my life. It's because God did it. Mi ze amar batehi Hashem lo tziva. Is it possible that these things happened, that anyone could have said this and it happened if it wasn't for God? And then the next pasuk says, is an answer. The answer is no. Mi pi elyon lo teitze haraot v'hatov. There is no predeterminism. Good and bad is not decreed from above. So pasuk lamed zayin is a question, is a challenge from the person who's mourning, is a challenge from the person who's hurt, is a challenge from the person who is lamenting, saying, what's going on? Why did God do this to me? And the answer is, God didn't do anything, because God doesn't decree tov v'ra. Rather, ma yisonein adam chai geber al chata'av. Rather, we need to reflect on our own behavior, and that ultimately is what caused the tov and the ra. And the only thing I'd point out is that's according to Rashi and the Rambam. According to the Rid, he has the same flow, but he actually explains the question mark slightly differently. And I don't have the Rid in front of you. You don't have the Rid in front of you. But he says, Mize amar vatehi. Who could say something? Mize amar vatehi. Could someone say something and it happened? Hashem lo tziva. God didn't command it. The way he said it is, the way he is explaining it is, klomar. Davar zeh shel yelchu Yisrael begalus v'yikablu kol zeh ha-puranios. Mi amar v'tziva uso. Mi zeh amar v'tehi. Who caused this? Mi tziva etzer. Who caused this? Mi zeh amar v'tehi. Who caused us to go into galus? ? Hashem lo tziva. And this part of the pasuk, Hashem lo tziva, that's the answer. God didn't cause it. Why didn't God cause it? We know God didn't cause it because v'pl yon lo teitzei haraot v'hatov, because good and bad is not predetermined by God. Rather, ma'yishanein adam chai. Rather, it's because of the sin. So it's the same overall understanding of the psukim, but it's a slightly different understanding of this particular pasuk. That's a second approach to these three psukim. ultimately, it gets you to the same result of Ma Yishanen Adam Chai, you should repent. But the question is totally different. The first person is challenging, is there Hashkafa Pratis? This all seems to be random, right? This is all random. The second person is challenging and saying, no, this is not random. This is all from God. God determines everything. And again, predeterminism is not a very popular theological or philosophical cult currently. We are thoroughly, I'd say, thoroughly predetermined to Bechira Chofshi. It's kind of built in. We don't, both in Jewish philosophy and non-Jewish philosophy, it's not really taken as a serious concept. But there were points in history, and when the Rambam was talking, there were points in history where it was a serious philosophical approach of predeterminism. And I said there are people who are still that way, and this is a response to that. The third approach to these psukim, which I'd like to touch on, is a totally different approach. And while the first two approaches kind of flow out of the psukim themselves, this approach seemingly is slightly more forced. So if you look in Rav Sajigon, and again, it all keys off of Pasuk Lamechet, Rav Sajigon says, "Mipi Elyon lo teitse haraot vehatov." What does that mean? "Mipi Elyon lo teitse haraot, kama ki'im hatov." So what does that changes it from up above? It is not decreed good and bad. To from up above, it is not decreed bad. Ela hatov, only good comes from above. What would our prior two approaches say to that?
That's a split. So that's the two approaches are either all or none.
Yeah, the two approaches clearly have above here. The pasuk has above. Rav Tov. We're talking about, this pasuk is talking about the gan, good and evil. Good and evil, either God controls good and evil, God doesn't control good and evil, people, but it's all about good and evil. All of a sudden, Sajigon is saying, that can't be. It can't be good and evil are coming from God. Why not? Because God is good. Right? The word God comes from the word good. And the question is, how can a God who is all good cause bad? Which is different than it's not the question of tzaddik v'ra lo, a good person, why do bad things happen to good people? This is, how can bad things happen at all? If God is all good, and if God is the source of all good, and God is everywhere, and God is all encompassing, then how could bad ever happen? You can't say it's coming from someone else, some other God, because that would violate rule number one. Right? There is one God, there's only God, God is good, where's the bad coming from? Right?
The question is, what's good and bad? So once it happens, just because we can't foresee, it's something that ultimately is for the good. How it is, how we see it, how we foresee it, is not anything we necessarily understand.
Right. So that answer is so good that it takes away the question, which doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's such a good answer. You're saying the pasuk says mipi alyon lo teitse haraot v'atov. You're saying what it really means is mipi alyon lo teitse haraot, those bad things that you consider to be bad but are not really bad, and the good, which is of course good, which is and that's one of the answers which we give to tzaddik v'ra lo, which is, you know, that's the nachamish gamzu l'tov. You know, everything is for the best. You just don't have the perspective of God or the wisdom or the knowledge or whatever to know that what's bad is really good. So that is one approach, which is to say it's not a question. God is good. When you ask why do bad things happen if God is good, the answer is because they're not really bad. But for the person who's sitting in the ruins of Yerushalayim, looking around at his city, which is now Yashva Badad, sometimes that's not always so easy to see. And you know, what also gets to another point, which I'm not really qualified to talk about, is what is bad? You know, and what type of, when we talk about bad coming from God, what type of bad are we talking about? Because again, if man has free will, and I choose to punch you, and now I choose to go to war, and now there's a war, can you say that's bad which came from God? It's bad which came from man. as distinguished from tornadoes or hurricanes. So you could get into a whole complicated conversation, which is beyond my skill set, on what's bad and good. But Rav Sajagon is saying, no, there is bad out there, or at least there's things that look bad, and I am troubled. And at the time when Rav Sajagon lived, this was the raging issue, right? It wasn't whether you can watch our movies or not. It was, how do bad things happen if God is all good? And his response is, oh, this pasuk, this pasuk doesn't say that bad and good come from God. This pasuk says, "Mipiel yon lo teitse ha-ra'ot." From God, the bad doesn't come. The good comes. And he has a source for that. He has two sources from that. One source is the Targum. Right, this is the Aramaic translation of Eicha. You know, like Unkelis on Chumash and Targum Yonasan ben Uziel on Navi, there are Targumim throughout. Ironically, the Targum was put in place for people who did not understand Hebrew so that they could understand the Aramaic. Now, in order for us to understand the Aramaic, we need to translate it back into Hebrew or back into English. And actually, another very good feature of commercial of the Toras Chaim Chamesh Megillot is that they bring down the Targum on all the Megillot, and they have a running translation of the Targum into Hebrew. There's also a translation of the Targum into English online, which you have down here, but it's done by a Christian translator, and they really work a lot of Christian theology into the Targumim. So I'd say be careful, but it's interesting to note. There's nothing here, but so sometimes that's to note. So what you have in front of you is you have the Targum. And now let's read the Targum. Let's just read it in the Hebrew in Lamed Zayin. So he says, Mihu ha'ish, I should read the Targum. Manhu enesh da'amar. Who is the person that said, right? Who is the person? Mihu ha'ish da'amar v'hayta v'hava bishta mit'avda ba'alma. Who is the person who caused, who said something and there was bad in the world? El mipisha asu ma'ashlo nitzav v'mipi Hashem. If there is someone who said something and did something bad, it's because they did. It's because they sinned, right? Why? Because the piha kel lo teitzera, because bad doesn't come from God, because God's all good. Ela shehabas kol romezes al hachamas shemaleah haaretz uvizman sheyotzel gzer tova ba'olam mipi kodosh yotzei. So here I'm not exactly, and I'm not qualified to discuss exactly what the Targum is saying about the bas kol. He's saying that the good, the bad comes because people sin, and that sin, that chamas, causes the bad, but from God, only good things come. So, according to this approach, the psukim have to be read a little differently, which is to ask, Mize amar vatehi Hashem lo tziva, right? We look around and we see all these bad things. How did all these bad things happen? God didn't command them. Question mark. How do I know God didn't command them? Because mi pi elyon lo teitse hara'ot. Because from God, bad doesn't come. Ela hatov, only the good comes. So I look around and I see the destruction of Yerushalayim and I say to myself, how could this happen? God's all good. Look at all the bad. And the answer is, ma yishanen adam chai geber al chata'av. Bad doesn't come from God. Bad is the natural result of sin, which is not caused by God, which God allows to kind of exist in this world. And I'll stop there because that's the extent of my Jewish philosophy understanding, which is not so deep, right? But that, what Sajigon is doing in his parish on Eicha here, is he's importing a deep philosophical problem at the time in terms of how to deal with bad and good. And he's saying Pshat in the Pasuk is consistent with his understanding of the idea of Ra, which is that God is Kulo Tov. Bad is caused by sin. Since man has Bechir Chofshi, they have the ability to sin. If you want to solve evil, if you want to get rid of bad in your life, in the world, do tshuva, because then there won't be any sin left. And if there's no sin left, the only thing that's left is God, is good. Interestingly enough, so you say, I'd say Rav Sajagon seems to be furthest from the pshat, right? But if you look at the ta'amim on the psukim here, it says, the pasuk reads as follows. It says, "Mipi elyon lo teitse haraot vehatov." So it's mapach pashta zakev katon haraot vehatov. So under haraot is a tipcha. So usually it's mercha tibcha, mercha sof pasuk, mercha tibcha, munach es nachta. Tibcha is a, well, I think what they call it is a minor stop. It's not a period. A sof pasuk or an es nachta is like a period. The tibcha is kind of like, I'd say, like a comma, almost. A mercha, right, and the tibcha is actually shaped that way. If you look, you have it in the sheet here. I try, it's in red. Under the letter ayin is the tibcha. Hara'ot v'hatov. So, as opposed to the mercha, which is, if you look at the pasuk above, lo tziva, the mercha goes like this. What the mercha does is it combines you to the next word. Again, following the shape of the truck. So it's lo tziva, was not commanded. Lo and tziva go together, right? Lo is modifying tziva. If you would have said that ra'ot v'tovot should be one, did God not command ha'ra'ot v'tovot? Then some argue that it should have not been a tibcha, it should have been a mercha. It should have been ra'ot tov, ra'ot v'tov, which would, the truck would combine the two together. But because Rav Sajigon's right, or Rav Sajigon is basing himself on what? On the truck, which say ha'ra'ot v'tov. Ha'ra'ot, tibcha, pause, stop. God doesn't command the ra'ot, comma, ela ha'tov, only the good. Which is, it's a fascinating approach. Now, a whole very interesting shir, as an aside, is the Tamei HaKra, Tamei HaMikra, are they a tool, an interpretive tool? Are they there to give pshat in the pasuk? What happens when pshat in the pasuk goes counter to the Tamei HaMikra? Can you use it as an asmachta? Can you use it as a proof? Can you use it as a... There's a lot to discuss. Where did the Tamei HaMikra come from? Who put them there? So there's a lot to discuss on that. But when they work, everyone points to them. So here Rav Sajigon is able to say, he doesn't say this himself, but commentaries on Rav Sajigon say it. Rav Sajigon, if you want to say, oh, that's not pshat, because it is pshat. Look at the truck. It's right there in the truck of the pasuk. 9:15, right?
Yeah. It's you will watch. I will say.
Okay. So we won't go inside on it, and it's this concept, Rav Sajigon concept. I mean, when I saw this Rav Sajigon and I started looking into it, it was not something I had seen really previously, certainly not in Eifa. But when you start looking at other sources, it's actually a concept that we're pretty comfortable with generally. And if you look at the Maharsha Sakam, where he talks about the bracha of Dayan Emet versus Hatova Meitiv, Yotzera, or if you also look at the Orach Chaim on Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu gets very angry at God that God sends him to Paro. And then what immediately happens? Paro doesn't listen to me. He makes God, makes everyone's life worse. And Moshe says to God, what'd you send me here for? Now everything is worse than it was. Basically, Moshe says, you caused bad. And then God responds, Al-Tatira, now you'll see. And then you have Vayera. So at the beginning of Vayera there, Yerach Haim goes on to a long piece where he basically takes this idea and says, God is saying to Moshe, how could you say that bad came from me? God is kulo good. If bad happened here, it's because there was sin. And the Maharsha says the same thing on Baruch Dayan Emet. In this world, there is no bad in this world. There's no bad because bad, God can't cause bad, kind of like the Gamzu Torah idea. But so when it's bad, we say Dayan Emet. We just don't understand it. And when it's good, we say HaTov HaMeitiv. It's good. Why don't we make the bracha on the bad? Because it's really because bad can't come from God. So it's not as explicit as the Rav Sajigon and the way Rav Sajigon in his philosophy treatises goes on and on and on about this idea. But it is an idea that actually in other contexts we've probably come across in many ways. We just didn't kind of put it into that context. So just like to conclude and kind of bring it all together. The name of the sefer is Eicha. Right, in Hebrew. In English, it's Lamentations. Which, why is it Lamentations in English, by the way? For the same reason that, what's the English translation of Bereishis? Genesis. And Shmos is Exodus. Right? Why is it not Shmos names, Elish Shmos? Or Vayikra is Leviticus. Why is it not Vayikra he called? The English translations of all these books are not the common names that we use, rather they're the way that Chazal refers to them. So, Dvarim, which is Deuteronomy, twice, that's Mishneh Torah. Right? Vayikra, which is Leviticus, that is Toras Kohanim. Eicha, how does the Gemara always refer to Eicha as? Kinot. Sefer HaKinot, which is what? Which is Lamentations. So we give the name keynote, we think it's Lamentations. When you think about Lamentations, what comes to mind is people crying. What comes to mind is, woe is me, Echayash Babadat. How could this have happened? This is terrible. This is Lamentations. What we've just demonstrated is that smack in the middle of Kinos is three psukim, which basically are not dealing with Kinos. They're not crying, but rather what they are is they're challenging God, and they're asking questions of Jewish philosophy. They're asking, how could this happen? This doesn't make sense. What's going on here? And that's smack in the middle. That's almost, it's almost dead center in the middle of keynote, in the middle of Sefer HaKeynote. Usually the middle of the book, or the middle of any, that's the meat. Right? So the question is, did the Sefer get named incorrectly? Should it not have been called Sefer HaKeynote? Should it not have been called Lamentations? Or is what we, or the other possibility, so that's a harder possibility, because we have to say that Chazal made a mistake in what they named the book. Or the other way to think about it is that, no, part and parcel of Sefer HaKeynote, part and parcel of Lamentations, is this idea, is the idea of questioning. So in Perek Aleph and Beis, we're sitting there and we're crying for what happened. You recognize the bad that happened and the bad that occurred and the sadness that that causes. And as part of that, both either on a national level or on a personal level, when we all experience, if you constantly experience negative things, first there's the pain, but then at some point there's always the question, why did this happen? Why is this happening? I don't understand. What's going on? What, you know, which is exactly this, which is Mizeh Amavateh, Hashem Lo Tziva. It's not a mistake that this is here, but that this is part and parcel of Kinos. When we say Kinos, part and parcel, there's the mourning aspect of it, and then there's the questioning aspect of it. Hopefully, in the few minutes we had here, we got to see three different approaches as to how to understand these psukim, each representing a different philosophical approach to the question of suffering. And we usually don't do it because you're not supposed to learn on Tisha B'Av, but throughout the third parak, if you keep your eyes open, there are many more instances where you can see Jewish philosophical ideas in terms of suffering built into the kinos, because that's just as important part of kinos as the crying is.
Thank you very much.